This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
And a good evening or good morning to you, wherever you might be around the world. This is Metaphysical Universe for Wednesday, April 4th, 2012. My name is Doug Kelly. So good to have you. And I'm here, of course, with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, Doug. I can't believe April 4th already. Boy, the year is going by fast. You didn't put a clock up yet for December 21st, did you?
Gosh, I should do that. You know, I got to get some articles up there, though, to kind of steer people the wrong way. And if this is your first time and you're wondering what we're talking about, we're just talking about the countdown to the end of the world on December 21st, 2012, where we're all going to die if we live long enough. So, of course, we don't believe that, just in case you're wondering.
We do not. MCHS does not believe that. Thank you very much.
Metaphysical Universe is a program, a production of the Metaphysical Church of Humanistic Science. Its whole mission is to empower the human spirit to explore science and spirituality and to raise awareness, really. So we're glad you could join us, those who are listening live, as well as those who are listening to the archive. We are without John Hightower tonight. Apparently there's a storm or something, so he may or may not be with us tonight to screen calls. But if you'd like to call in, we'll try to take him. If you have a question, of course, you can ask it in the chat room, too. So tonight,
and actually, this is a good topic for tonight, you know, when people have to weather things like storms. And, you know, I know this will show up in the archives, but yesterday a really big tornado in Dallas. And, you know, storms are natural, folks, so, I mean, it does happen. But, you know, the human spirit, what it endures, you know, the will of the human spirit. We're going to talk about that tonight. So,
yeah,
it's interesting.
Our topic is what it means to be human. And we're going to explore that over the next hour. And I thought a good way, we were talking before the show, and it came up, a good way to kind of get into this is to think of an alternative. For example, let's assume that aliens exist, which I'm sure they do. What does it mean to be an alien? Well, what species? I don't know. Pick your species. Pick your alien. What does it mean to be an alien? Well, what would you have to know to answer that question? Think about that for a minute. What's their daily life? What's their psychological makeup, physiological makeup? You know, what do they do? You know, how do they think? How do they speak? You know, what do they look like? That sort of thing. We could even bring it a little bit closer to home. And I'm sure that those listening probably have a dog or a cat. Well, what does it mean to be a cat? Well, we've been trying to figure that one out for thousands of years. That's why we love cats. But, you know, what does it mean to be that? And this is where a term comes into play. The term is qualia. It's qualia, Q-U-A-L-E, qualia. Well, that's quail or quali. It's the singular. Qualia is the plural. Q-U-A-L-I-A is what it is. Well, what does it mean? It simply describes the subjective experience. For example, I can tell you all day long what it's like to jump out of a plane with a parachute. But unless you actually experience it yourself, you won't really know. So qualia describes the raw sensations of experience, subjective. It's that thing that you experience, and so you know what it's like because you've done it. That's qualia. So what does it mean to be a human being? What does it really mean? And this is the time, this whole show is kind of a continuation from last week's show, you know, how to live before you die. It means to stop for just a moment. Just take a deep breath and just stop for a moment and look around. I mean, look around the room you're in. Just take a good look, or wherever you happen to be, look around. Notice it. We get going so fast through life. We have so many stresses, so many pressures. One thing pulling us this way, another thing pulling us that way, that we really just stop to kind of look around and assess where we're at. And we've talked about that, too, in previous shows. And, Vicki, you were mentioning that, too.
Well, I'll tell you, There's so many ways to do that, but I have very often just taken a moment, and by a moment I mean sometimes it's a week or two. So just step back from life and objectively kind of reconnect all my dots. You know, it's let everything kind of filter in and assess things. Where have I been? What have I done? Collect myself, get into now before I take the next step forward. And we'll talk later about an experience recently, but which is an appropriate description to call defragmenting. And likened to a hard drive, you know, everything has to condense, line up, and just kind of get your brain all assimilated, you know, your life experience. And maybe I shouldn't sharpen it by saying brain. There's many components to being human, lining up the emotions, the physical experience, as well as mentally and spiritually. So I think that we all need to do this from time to time, Doug. It's just line it all up, you know, before you step forward as a whole being, not just part of us.
Mm-hmm. And that's a good point. Think about this. Those who are listening, what does it mean to be you? Think about that question for a moment. Think about your daily activities, your life situation, where you work, who you're with, if you have a partner or not, whether you have kids or not. What does it mean to be you? Just let that slowly simmer for a moment. What does it mean to be you? Like, I'll ask the question, what does it mean to be Doug? Well, it's wonderful. Just
now kidding. You see, that's subjective, isn't it?
Yeah, because very.
See, because I would wonder, what is it to be Doug? But I can't really know.
Exactly.
You know, I can only have my experience with Doug, but only Doug knows Doug.
Mm-hmm. And vice versa. And so, those listening, what does it mean to be you? Now, we all have our likes, our dislikes, our tastes, preferences, our core values, our principles, our ethics, and it goes on and on.
I can't believe you don't like oatmeal raisin cookies. That just amazes me.
Look, they're just not as good as chocolate chip. I'm sorry. It's so disappointing to bite into a cookie and find it's a raisin and not a chocolate chip.
Now, you see, there's another element, isn't it? We each have our own tastes, as you said, which is also perspectives and views and basic preferences. Look, that's, I think, the bottom line. And I think we're always a little surprised at each other, you know? And what's wrong with that? I think that's actually quite interesting that, you know, we learn things about each other when we learn about ourselves. And learn about ourselves through learning, you know, about each other. So it kind of, this is where we're also interactive. I still don't get the oatmeal raisins, but that's okay.
Yeah, and that's fine. You don't have to get it. And let's expand that a little bit about, think about our we all have our own inclinations, our own gifts, our own talents, things that we're good at, things that we're not so good at, and on and on. And so I'm just trying to give those who are listening a little bit of time. What does it mean to be you? Think about, there's so many aspects to being human. Let's look at the positives. Have you ever been in an airport, just maybe waiting for a flight, or maybe you're there to pick somebody up, but have you noticed the people? And when the flight gets in and they start getting off the plane and they're coming out down the skywalk, you know, and you have family members there and they're so happy to see each other. You see all kinds of hugs and kisses, and sometimes they'll have, you know, balloons and things. It depends, you know. Think about that, and you just observe that and you look at that. That's part of being human. It's touching, and maybe you can experience the same thing watching a touching movie or hearing a touching experience or something like that. That's part of being human. And then, you know, there's all kinds of things. I mean, if you look at the world condition, that's part of being human as well. Did we lose everybody?
No, I don't think so.
Who did we lose? Did we lose anybody? I think somebody was trying to call. That's what it was. I think we got John coming on here shortly.
Hey, good news. Good news. Maybe he's weathered through a bit of a storm.
Yeah, let me just...
Sure.
So,
you know, I think I'll just say this, in addition to what you're saying, that this is heartfelt, a truly heartfelt extension of ourselves that connects with other people. And I think that is really the most remarkable thing about being human, how we feel bonded with each other and how we connect, and the joy that we feel genuinely. We feel a joy to be connected, to be joined up with, you know, whether it's family or friends. You know what? This is why a smile at the grocery store is so important, because it bonds us. It connects us in a positive, good way. And that's an aspect of being human, I think, that's most integral. It's my view that that's when our spirit is fully participating in our life, in those moments when we have that kind of joy.
Mm-hmm.
So
we look at those positive moments, we look at the state of the world, you know, part of being human, the human experience here is that, you know, the bad stuff does happen too. I mean, there are people killing each other, there's the crime, there's the things that go on. It's all part of the human experience. Doesn't mean that we're not trying to eradicate some of that stuff and get rid of those bad experiences and the crime and the so forth and the wars and all, but it's all about being human. It's about recognizing how beautiful we are as human beings.
Well, we certainly have the capacity for it. I think when we talk about the other negative for a moment, I really kind of reduce it to one thing. It's human beings have a tremendous amount of power. And
yeah.
sometimes we don't use power in a good way, even though we think we're brilliant, smart, clever, you know, and intelligent. We don't always think of the results before we get into an action. And, you know, of course, if anyone reads the MCHS principles, that's all part of what we learn to better experience, you know, think ahead a little bit. But it's that power that we have, and if we use it for good, if we use it for positive and channel that same energy, yikes, it's amazing. I really do believe that we are the most powerful beings on the planet, and power meaning our capacity, our possibilities. Look at what we have done, both good and bad, but if we can channel power, and really that's the only word for it, though, is channel power in a good way, whew, what a planet it would be.
Oh, yeah. You know, if the same principles that we've been talking about for months on this show and the same principles we teach at MCHS Church as well as the Metaphysics Institute, if people would just adopt those, do no harm, do right, wow, that would completely change the world if people would just adopt that, if the countries and the nations would just adopt that. Yeah, a bit of a utopian dream at this moment. However, it will come, it will happen. I have absolute faith in humanity that we will evolve to that point. And speaking of the power that we have, that's something that a lot of times we forget. We are powerful beings. The human spirit, nothing can beat it. The human spirit always prevails. As a species, we always win. We always overcome. We conquer whatever. We are powerful. And that we are powerful is made up by units, individuals. I am powerful. You are powerful. We can literally do anything we want, you know, to accomplish. Obviously, you know, we can't fly like Superman unless you've got, you know, somebody from Krypton
astral
or whatever.
Astral travel.
Yeah. But the point is we can do virtually anything. We can, there's very little that is impossible for us to accomplish given time and development. So think about that with you. It starts with you. It starts with me. It starts with each one of us to recognize the power that we have and to not deny it and to not get into those attitudes or that mindset where you're not worthy, you're not good enough because you're comparing yourself to other people. We talked about that last week. Don't do that stuff. Just stop doing that. Recognize the gifts that you have, and everybody has something to bring to the table. Think about a negotiation. What are you bringing to the table? you know, we all bring things to the table, and the idea is to bring the positive things to the table and not subtract things from the table. So you bring the gifts that you have. You focus on those, understanding that we're all of the same stuff. We all have something to contribute. Not everybody is exactly the same in every area. We vary, but we all have gifts. We all have talents. We all have propensities for things that we're good at. And part of knowing yourself is knowing what you're good at and knowing what you're not so good at. And it doesn't mean you can't try, but to embrace those things that you're good at and not, you know, and be proud of yourself for those things.
You know, this is a good place to insert, Doug, when you talk about everybody's unique and individual. I have said in a past life that I've said a lot of things in past lives too. Ooh, is that Freudian? That it's no one is more interesting to me than I am to myself. And I guess I really should explain that because it's not a narcissistic thing. In fact, it's the most honest thing because I'm always amazed at, gee, how did I think about that? Where did that thought come from? How do I see things? How do I process? How do I feel about this? You know, what's my emotional state today? You know, how am I managing it? And it's that constant self-awareness, that constant self-observation. I'm not in your head. I'm not in somebody else's head. I can tune in with energy. I can connect with your soul. I can kind of feel that with, you know, with a lot of people. And that happens to be one of my strengths in this lifetime. But I'm the only one in my head, and I find that fascinating. And that's, to me, the key for self-evolution, for self-awareness. And that's the capacity that humans have for amazing power. There's power in here by the way I think and the way I keep evolving. And that's the key, I think. I mean, it just makes sense to me. So I challenge anybody. No one should be more interesting to you than you are to yourself. I mean, that's
absolutely
amazing.
And you just you got me thinking about something, which is a great side point here. You say you're the only one in your head. And wouldn't that be great if that was the case with everybody on this planet? And yet it's not the case. The fact is that most people are not the only one in their head. And I love that old saying. I don't know where it originated. But, you know, when you're in some kind of a bad relationship or somebody's getting on your nerves, basically stop renting space to other people in your head for free.
Good one.
Yeah, so a good side point.
Well, I think we all have people's thoughts in our heads, you know, but it's about the garden you want to water. You know, we're always inadvertently, see, that's the fascinating thing about the human mind. We are taking in information exponentially at any given moment. The thing is, what are we going to process through to keep for ourselves? You know, what do we adapt and adopt into our own experience? What makes sense for us? But keeping in line with just being a good human being, because that's what we're here to do. We're here to learn about and contribute to the process of an evolving humanity. I know that about the autonomy, I understand the individuality, but we are still in a collective. So that's, I think, the double edge here, too. You know, where a lot
of
people take it too far, where they give too much to others without retaining enough for themselves.
And part of being the only one in your head, another word for that is self-completeness, self-actualization. And it's much healthier. And you're right. You know, we are individuals, but we're also part of this collective. And so it's important to understand what it means to be human there, too. You know, that we are individuals, but we're all part of the same consciousness, the collective, the same universal consciousness, the universe. We're all part of the same thing. We're all connected, which has been proven many times over. I mean, we're connected with everything. And it's not just some fringe metaphysical concept. It's literally true. There's things called quantum entanglement. There's the Cleve Baxter with the plant experiments, where you hooked up the polygraph to the plants, and he thought, well, I wonder how they would respond if I burned them. And he was going to go get matches, and the thing already responded. The plant already reacted to it. Fascinating stuff, you know. And so we're all connected, and that's where this awareness has to come into play. We need to be self-aware, aware of our own need to grow. And so many people don't even get that they need to grow. They don't grow. They don't even understand that everything in life is a learning opportunity. And they'll just go through, they'll just behave in the poor way that they behave without even thinking about it. You got to be self-aware, but you also have to be aware of the world around you. Not only the animals, but also other people, everything. It's like opening your eyes. Think of a blind person whose sight is restored, and they open their eyes, and they all of a sudden can see all these vivid colors and all of these scenes and everything. It's mind-blowing. And yet, we have the same opportunity if we just open our metaphorical eyes, our figurative eyes, and really pay attention to what we have here. Not to just take ourselves for granted or take other people for granted. What we've got is amazing, an amazing life. We just have to look for it. Happiness is where you see it. Not everything has to be in perfect order like life. I mean, it doesn't have to be, I won the lottery and I have my mansion, I have my expensive cars, I have no bills, I'm happy-go-lucky. That's not real. That's what a lot of people want, but that's not life. That's not so much what it means to be human. What it means is to stare that adversity in the face, to understand that adversity is nothing more or less than a state of disorder. You put the things back in a state of order and the adversity goes away in due time. You stare that adversity, you conquer it, you overcome it, and you become a better, more experienced person as a result of it. And that experience, that qualia, you cannot go to college and buy. You can't buy it online. You have to live it. And that's part of what it means to be a human being.
You know, if I can add in this, Doug, that very often we've all heard this. I think we've all probably said it ourselves. Why is this happening to me? You know, I mean, why is this happening to me? And it's that it's kind of like some people feel, and we have all felt at some point, that we're exempt from challenge. We're exempt from hardship or difficulty or the things that stimulate our creativity, that force us into this extraordinary place in our minds that we've never been before. So why not you? So even it's not just about the good stuff, but there are going to be challenges. You know, we're going to lose people. It could be a fender bender, it could be you just had a lousy day, you know, you had a fight with your spouse, and you say, why me? Well, this is life. This is what it's about, being human. Mm-hmm. We're always going to be faced with these kinds of challenges.
And we all zig when we should have zagged and all that other stuff, you know. That's, again, part of it.
You're singing my song.
Yeah, it's, you know, we learn from those experiences, or we should learn from those experiences, and that's great. There's a comment in the chat room about, you know, humans being so entrapped in ego. And the ego, to understand it properly, it's like anything else. An ego can be healthy or unhealthy. And there are many people out there with unhealthy egos. And that unhealthy ego can take two forms. It can take a form of thinking much too much of yourself, and it can also take the form of thinking too little of yourself. Think about this. If I am a narcissist, if I think I'm better than everyone else, what am I focused on? I'm focused on me, on self. If I think that I'm not worthy, I'm not good enough, woe is me, what am I focused on? Myself. There's really not much difference between the two. We need to have a healthy self-concept. Understand that, yes, we are important. Our individuality is important. It is critical. That's what MCHS Church teaches. You are an individual. You are valuable. You are it. You are divine. But we don't want to go too far and you know, to the narcissistic way. which also includes thinking too little of yourself because you're still self-focused. We want to focus on us and everyone. We're all part of it. Have a healthy self-concept. And that's, again, back to what Vicki said a few minutes ago about I'm the most interesting person I know. That's in a healthy way. It doesn't mean that she thinks she's better or worse than anyone else, nor do I. I'm no different. I'm no better, no worse than anyone else. I'm Doug, and I am fascinating. I mean, I am. I am. I like a lot of cool things. You know, I know about a lot of cool things. I've had a lot of cool experiences. But that doesn't mean that I'm any more fascinating than anyone else. You know, I mean, everybody's got their story. Everybody has their story. And some of these stories are fascinating. Well, you have your story too, those who are listening. What is that story? What do you like? What do you think's cool? You know, I have so many interests. And this came from a young age. I mean, when I was impressed with Leonardo da Vinci, he was eclectic. He did all kinds of stuff. And I'm thinking, that's what I want to do. I want to do all kinds of stuff. And I have done all kinds of stuff. And I've done it to a pretty good level. And it's cool to be so diverse. I mean, it's just fun. And it's interesting. So what about you? What are you good at? What's interesting about you that are listening to this? Revel in that. Pat yourself on the back for it. And then continue to understand that that's part of the human experience. It's a beautiful thing.
You know, there's a comment in the chat room, Doug. It is realizing that we're great by ourselves, but amazing together.
Yeah.
And I think, well, that's such a profound statement.
It is.
But I think this is where we as people, get a little bit kind of hooked up here, is how do we find that middle place of agreeing to disagree and being in our differences. It's how do we negotiate that without compromising who we are? And I absolutely believe when we reduce life to its simplest form, it's easy. But it's when we complicate things and we set priorities and we get competitive, it gets very difficult to find that amazing place together. So, you know, I just had to throw that in because this is something that, I work with in people all the time. It's how do they find that sharing place, that, you know, the connected place. You know, you and I work really well together, Doug, and I, I'm going to say, by the way, everyone, it's coming up on a one-year anniversary here of my association with MCHS and Doug. And there's never even been the slightest bit of hint of reticence or hesitation or because there's principles, I think, and because there's some very basic, simple principles that we automatically came to the table with. I'm doing my work in my life. You do your work in your life. But there is a middle place. And it's respectful and it's caring and it's supportive. And not with the, oh, geez, I don't know. It's more like, well, okay, I don't know, but I'm going to get on that.
I'll find out. How hard can it be?
And this is what I mean by finding that sharing place. And we are at MCHS, I believe, exampling that to others. And I just want to share that with people and some of our new listeners who are in the chat room right now or listening in the archives later, that if you have that common understanding of basic values and ethics that's not judgmental but is respectful, then it's easy to get along in a collective. It's easy.
Yes, and you had mentioned, you know, how do you find that balance? Well, one of my recommendations is not to take yourself too seriously. That's something that gets us tripped up all the time. Don't take yourself so seriously. Understand that it's not about you and it's not about me. It's about us. And on that note, what I just thought about, those listening, Dr. John Hightower is now with us tonight and screening calls. What I would like to ask is for those listening live, why don't you call in? I'm going to challenge you. Call in and tell us something interesting about you, about your life, about something cool that you've done. Share it. You know, I'd like to know.
I love it.
I'd love to hear something cool. Some cool experience that helped you to grow in some way, whatever it happens to be. You know, I'd love to hear it. So I'll put that out there, and hopefully we'll get a call or two and somebody will share. So don't take yourself too seriously. Understand it's fine to feel good about yourself. We're not advocating narcissism here. We're advocating a healthy self-concept.
You know, I think that when we're also talking about living in a sharing space, I think what people tend to do is not only take themselves too seriously, Doug, but hang on too tight for things that are not important. They're just not important.
You know, like, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, it's even if it's something like who likes what kind of food more than the other, and you're cooking a meal, make two things because it's just small stuff. You know, you don't dig your heels in and say, well, I'm the cook. You know, I mean, sure, maybe that's your turn, but it's sometimes I think we really sweat the small stuff and hang on way too tight.
Yeah, we do. Just lighten up, you know. That's the whole point. It's all about being human. It's about, and I had a thought, and it's like gone. But
that's human.
Yeah, see, there's another part of being human, you know.
You know, I know maybe some of our audience is a little young for this, but when I went through a menopausal time, folks.
You're not old enough for that.
thank you. There was a period of time where, you know, when the body is making these huge adjustments, I would lose thoughts. And so I started calling them M&Ms. You know, M&M, I'm having an M&M, which is a menopausal moment.
So
I just,
you're accusing me of that because my thought fled.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that the other people who are listening, is you got to just laugh at yourself at some point, because I'd say, I'd be in the middle of a conversation and I'd just draw a blank and I'd say, oh man, I'll be right back.
You know? Yeah, if you see me, let me know. I'm looking for me.
But you have to, we all go through periods of time, is my point too. And for many really reasonable reasons, whether it's a physical time, you know, or a stressful time, or, you know, any number of things that we're under a certain amount of pressure, or, geez, menopause will do it. But it's, you got to laugh at it. You got to find an angle on it that don't take yourself too seriously. Sometimes it's just a matter of, oh, geez, this is so ridiculous. It's gone from funny to sublime, you know. It's like, okay, well, I'll be back tomorrow. I'm going to get some rest here and take a pill maybe, you know. And just weather the storms is what I'm saying. You just weather it. You ride it out because nothing lasts forever. Everything is temporary. And that's the beauty of age. And as you get older also, you learn that nothing is absolute and stays the same in this moment. So that's all part of, you know, having some humor.
Yeah, and not taking yourself so seriously. And understanding that every day is a new experience and that life is about growing and learning and evolving. And, you know, one of the things that I teach in the courses is, you know, ask yourself, you know, what did you do today that you're proud of yourself for? Ask your children that every day. What'd you do today, honey, that you're proud of yourself for? You know, if you make that a daily practice, especially with your children, young children, wow, that'll really help to build their self-esteem too. So what did you do today that you're proud of yourself for? Why not celebrate a victory every day? You know, find something to be proud of yourself for. There's nothing wrong with this. Much to the chagrin of religion, who basically teaches people to feel bad about themselves and denigrates people, which I don't adhere to and I disagree with. Our job is to build people up in a healthy way, to understand that you are part of a beautiful experience here. Nobody is any more or less a part of that. We're all part of it. So pat yourself on the back and feel good about yourself.
You know, I've gone through a couple of times in my life, Doug, where the greatest celebration was brushing my teeth that morning. You know, and if that's what I could do that morning, that was, hey, I made some progress, you know, and then all I'm saying here is that everyone goes through times that are really crappy.
Well, yeah.
you know, and so it's every day add a little more to it. Not that you're living a week from now saying, oh, I have to accomplish all this in a week. I'm just saying that sometimes inching along is good. And without that, as you call it, patting yourself on the back or saying, well, you know, I made a little progress today, I'm doing good, then, you've got nothing to build on. So that's how you build on it. Celebrate even the smallest little victories on those really bad days. And because there is always something good in a day, no matter how bad you feel.
And, you know, probably a great way to express what it means to be a human is this, you know, sometimes we're up, sometimes we're down. Sometimes we just are ecstatic and feel like nothing can go wrong. And there are other times we feel like nothing can go right. There are times when we're joyous and happy. And then there are those times when we have tears streaking down our cheeks. We're cut to the heart over some matter and we just don't know what to do. That's part of life. You know, that's part of being a human being. We have a caller. Dennis.
Yay.
Dennis, welcome to the program. You have something cool to share, right?
Yeah, well, sure.
Wrong answer. I'm really looking for... Why, yes, Doug, I really do have something cool to share.
Well, yeah, no, no, I think if it's not the first time I called in, it's, you know, Douglas, and Vicky. You know, thank you very much for doing what you do. You do beautiful work.
Thank you.
And it's very interesting, just to make this quick. You know, I met up with random people yesterday. Mm-hmm. And we had an hour conversation. I've never met them before in my life.
Wow.
And we had an hour conversation. And it got down to... you know, I was talking about all the stuff that I do, right, with radio and this, that, and the other thing. They were very intrigued. They were very curious on their relationships, this, that, the other thing, and when things go bad, and going at the source and knowing source within you, and when things go bad, and you know, how do you do it? And as your show description mentioned, is how we become deviated, distracted with 3D physical stuff, being human.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very, very interesting how that we connected so much.
What an opportunity. Great opportunity.
Oh, it was beautiful. And I mentioned to his girlfriend, you know, this is synchronicities, you know. Mm-hmm. and things are coming together, and you know, they were a young couple, and they were so intentive on what I was mentioning, and which was again beautiful and awesome.
Ready to learn.
Yeah, well, we're here to share, to learn, to offer, to expand.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're not here to push,
well put,
shove, and tell.
Hey, you know? Very well put. Nicely
well,
put.
Yeah, thanks for that. You know, it brings to mind, Doug, that in the course of a day, you know, sometimes it's a smile and sometimes it's a conversation.
Yeah.
And you
yeah.
just never know when it's going to happen.
That's right. You know, and we were talking about this as well. And I've talked about this on many shows, whatever, you know, with many people, whatever. And if someone inadvertently, without their awareness, cuts you off on the highway or in traffic, whatever like that, and they flip you the bird or whatever, and you might take offense and get upset, or angry, all right? This was another topic, is anger and being upset. Appreciate the person. Respect the person, the human, for their response, because they, you know, they live their life, and you just happen to have that you know, that that you know, that interaction at that point, at that
time. And it's not about you, it's about them. It's their stuff, not your stuff.
Right. Yeah. You let it go.
Yeah.
You know, that's a really good point, actually, to bring up. We all get angry. We all get kind of pissy. We all feel that. But if we're really living from the center of ourselves and we're in balance, that feeling dissipates really quickly. It's like easy to get frustrated, but it just dissipates the minute you express it, and you don't hold on to it.
Right.
Well, Dennis, thanks so much for sharing that. Appreciate that. Sounds like it was a great time, great experience for you.
Okay, wanted to expand more, but all right.
All right, thanks.
Wonderful show. All right.
Thank you. And we appreciate calling in, Dennis. And I want to put this again out to our live listeners. You may not be in a position to call in, that's fine. Why not put something cool about yourself in the chat room, and then we'll read them off? You know, there's got to be something. You know, what's cool about you? Put it in the chat room.
How about you and I share a cool story, Doug?
Oh, okay.
Are you up for that?
Sure.
Okay. Well, it's pretty well known that I've had some pretty extraordinary, you know, experiences in my life. I talk to dead people, and on occasion I've talked to an alien or two. At least that's what I think they are. And my first experience, actually, what I thought was an ET energy coming through in a reading was, more than 10 years ago, I can't remember now. But I recall feeling very odd because the vibration was different. It's a very different frequency, an electrical frequency. And I did react. It took me a while to adjust. And then as I kept growing and expanding and learning, I think my frequency expands. And tuning into various levels of what I call life energy. Now, it doesn't happen very often. And when I say that, it's pretty rare, like maybe once or twice a year, you know, that I'll tune into something that is not spirit, not like a human spirit kind of energy. Doug and I were having a conversation just a week or so two ago, and he had wanted to share a particular video that he had. So we were on Skype, and as we're talking, this orb just flew by him. I could see it, and I put my hands up. I said, "Whoa, Doug, something just flew by you." And just then, both of our energies, we could both feel, and Doug can describe for himself, but I got a tingling from head to toe, like the hair on my entire body was standing up. And wait a minute, this is different. This is new. And so you take it from there, Doug, and you're part of it, because I'll save the punchline for a few minutes here.
Okay. And I hope I don't rain on your parade for the punchline.
Go for it.
You know, and anybody who knows me knows my position on orbs. They're a non-event. They're, you know, they're artifacts or dust and all that. Unless you see them with the naked eye, then they're not. Well, I didn't see any kind of an orb here, but Vicky did. But as soon as she mentioned that, it was almost at the same time she mentioned that, I got these goosebumps all through my whole body, the tingling, the goosebumps. And it was weird. You know, I mean, I've had a lot of people say, oh, yeah, there's an orb. It doesn't do a thing to me. It was not the orb thing. It was something here. And I don't have these experiences very often at all. And this one was intense. These goosebumps, these tingling all over my body, especially my chest area, was amazing. It was like somebody, in fact, they're coming back. But that's, you know, psychosomatic now. At the time, it wasn't. It was just intense. And it was like somebody was, in my space. It was, and it lasted for a couple of minutes. I mean, think about it. You get goosebumps, they go away in a few seconds. This kept going on, and I'm sitting there thinking, what is going on? This is amazing. This is weird. This is unusual. This is rare. This just doesn't happen to me. And, of course, the video happened to be about something I was a part of several years ago. And it's not something I share or am able to share, but it involved ETs and communicating with them through a channel. And
of which you had not told me about.
Yeah.
You didn't give me any indication what this video was going to be.
No, I wanted to get her psychic impression on it, so I did not say a word about what the subject was, what any of it was. I just wanted to let her look at it and tell me what she thought, because it was pretty compelling, and I had a dialogue through a medium with presumed ETs, and they made some statements such as, you know, that they been watching us for eons, that they planted us, they don't know who created us, where we originally came from, but they put us here. Again, this is all presumed. I mean, I have no proof of any of it, and I'm not quite entirely 100% sure where I stand on the believability part of it, but it seemed to be authentic, and it was just an incredible experience to have. And so, anyway, that's all I really have to say. It's just that when I was showing that to Vicky, and was this before you watched
the video? Actually, it was even before we watched the video, I think, when I said, Doug, this is an ET energy.
Yeah, that's right. It was before you even saw the video or knew what it was about. That was amazing.
Yeah, and it was still, I have to say this, a frequency higher than anything I had experienced before. And I haven't quite been the same. And I think that this is where any kind of new energy experience that we have, there's an adjustment period. I call it the defragmenting, but it's also about expanding the way our brains work. I mean, we're downloading new information all the time. We are creating new thoughts, things I'd never thought of. I mean, Vicky's not capable of that. That came from somewhere in the cosmos, Akashic Records, it doesn't matter what you call it, somewhere. And since this event, I have been, and I think it finally kind of all fell into place yesterday for me in a meditation. And just laying down, and it took about an hour, actually. I didn't intend for this to happen, but doing a meditation, and then my whole life, bubbles, like little bubbles on a, you know, on a chart that all kind of lining up and having memories I hadn't had for 20, 30, 40 years, all just started flashing. It's like everything was lining up, and I was having a new view of my life. And it was really very extraordinary. And I thought, well, I'm sure glad that settled down now, because this past week or so has been discombobulated. But my intuition is sharper. My sensitivity is sharper. So this is a new phase of self-management, I believe, that I am challenged with. So we're all challenged with new points of our evolution and new possibilities, new energies. Now, can I tell you for a fact that this was an ET? No, I can tell you it's not a frequency of energy I'm accustomed to. And I've been talking to dead people since my earliest childhood memory. My, you know, imaginary friends never went away. So the spirit world is a very familiar place. And but when I've tuned into something not familiar, I know that it's some other higher form or other form of life. I don't know, higher, lower, whatever, but it's different and not of this realm or this dimension. And so it requires me to rethink myself. And I want to be very careful all the time about making judgment of what I don't know until I have information that might help me know more. So that's what I really recommend to people, that you just never know what you're going to encounter. But then it's about you and your own interpretation. So I'm still in the learning curve, and it's very exciting.
Yeah, and you know that we were talking in the beginning of the show about qualia, about subjective experiences, and I got to tell you that thing a week or so ago was a very personal and intense experience that you have to live through. You have to experience it to get anything from it, and that's so much what some of these paranormal and psychic experiences are. You got to be a part of it. It's like table tipping, which I find fascinating. You got to experience it. You got to be there. You got to do it to understand that it's not a bunch of people pushing the table. You have to experience this. And when you do, it also part of the human experience. It opens up your mind to other and amazing possibilities of what it's all about. I mean, before we even watch this video about the ET channeling, this happened. And it was like, I don't know, I got the sense that they were waiting for this, waiting for me to share it with Vicky. It was like they came, they were aware of it somehow. Can I explain this, you know, scientifically? No, I can't. All I know is what I felt, what I sensed, the impressions that I got. And I'm not easily given to this stuff. That's the point. If you know me, you know that's true. I'm not easily given to any type of paranormal stuff. I'm open to it, but most of it I can explain in one way or another. These kinds of things, I just can't. I mean, I'm very well aware of psychosomatic. I'm not given to those kinds of things. I'm the type of person that I'm afraid that a ghost won't follow me home from an investigation. You know, I'm not afraid of them. I'm fascinated by them. You know, I don't see them much, but, you know, maybe someday when I grow up that'll change. But, you know, so it's a fascinating thing of the human experience, and that's what we're trying to encourage here. What are your limits? You know, can you plumb the boundary of your limits? Are there any limits in terms of consciousness? Can you expand your consciousness through meditation, through self-hypnosis, through those types of things to become more aware of what's unseen? You know, in recent years, I love the last 15 or so years of science, especially astronomy, cosmology, and quantum physics, because so much is coming out. If you watch any of these documentaries, they say that 96% or so of the universe is missing. In other words, all of the atoms, all the physical material of the universe, all of the galaxies, what is 100 billion galaxies, all of that stuff only makes up like 4% of the universe we can see. Where's the rest of it? Dark energy, dark matter. You know, they're trying to detect this stuff. They're looking for the God particle, Higgs, I can't think of the entire name, the God particle, to kind of explain everything. Higgs boson, I can't think of the name.
I can tell you is there's just amazing things in quantum physics and science that really it pleases me, because I've had a lot of what I call almost kooky kind of thoughts or visions, and I can't explain them. I mean, it's just all theoretical, and now they're being explained, and I'm just, you know, always so grateful. I say, wow, they found the words I couldn't, you know, because it's an experience that's difficult to describe. So the developments of science and technology now is phenomenal, and it's exciting to be in this time period, everyone. It really is, to see how things evolve, where we're going to be in 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. It's exciting, very exciting time to be on the planet.
It is. It's fat. I mean, look at all the planets we've discovered. 20 years ago, if you were an astronomer looking for extrasolar planets, exoplanets.
You mean there's more than 9?
No, there's not even 9 now. Pluto's no longer a planet.
What? No, wait. Okay.
Yeah.
It screws me up. I don't even know what the borders are for countries anymore. They keep changing them.
I know. But if you were an astronomer looking for planets 20 years ago, you know, you weren't really held in high esteem. Now we have last I heard there was about 1,500 planet candidates. They have candidates, and then they can verify them. And here we are, and it's like nothing, this doesn't shock me at all. It's like, you know, maybe the universe has life. No, it's not maybe, it's everywhere. The whole universe is teeming with life. It just is what it is. How can it not be teeming with life? How can there not be hundreds of billions of planets, some with life of all kinds? It's just amazing, and this is part of the human experience. Look how far we have to go. And how much we have to explore. It's so cool. And that's one of the reasons I'm drawn to anomalous research, to the paranormal, to the mysterious of all kinds. Ufology, cryptozoology, paranormal science, parapsychology, all of that stuff. But it all comes back to, what does it mean for the human condition? What does it mean for the human experience? It's all there to expand us. And with quantum physics catching up and talking about quantum entanglement, and I mean, I'm going to tell you right now, I've never believed that the speed of light is the speed limit for this universe. I'm sorry. Every scientist will tell you that's the speed limit, but there's always a way around it. And with quantum entanglement, it doesn't matter how far away a particle is, it can be on the other side of the universe. When its counterpart changes, it changes instantly, not limited by the speed of light. So this is cool stuff.
I have a theory. See, for as much as I'm experiential, and Doug knows me in this way, I really try to make it sensible, and I want to find out the reasons for things. I like to know how I do what I do. I want to understand better how I see things. And when I do a reading for someone, a theory that I have is, it starts out simply that with every thought, we can change the future. That's a given. If you know about something ahead of time, then you have the power to potentially change that thought, change the action and the outcome. But what about, you know, parallel universes where we're connecting or tuning in to another alternate self? You know, when I tune into somebody, there's nearly always a parallel reality if they go left or right, you know, or forward, or you zig when you should have zagged. You know, there's always another possibility, and that's what I find really fascinating. When I look into, and I always kind of say it's eavesdropping on people's lives, and I always feel very privileged to do this, that, you know, all the possibilities are there. The trick is to be able to tune into what's here and actual, and that's what it is about being human and what we're demonstrating in our everyday life. So fascinating stuff.
And don't forget, you know, we've talked about, we'll sum it up, you know, do no harm, do right. That's what it means to be human. Experience your life, help others, you know, help lighten the load when you can, when it's a healthy thing. Plumb the limits of your abilities, you know, expand them, explore them, stretch them, stretch your mind, learn, grow, evolve, and help lighten the load of others when you can. Do no harm, do right. If you want to learn more about some of these concepts that we've talked about tonight, then visit us at Metaphysics Institute, enroll in the degree program, and I promise you it will challenge you. It will change your life. It will give you tools and techniques and to just be more successful in your life, your relationships, and it will expand your knowledge and get you thinking. That's the big thing, to make you think.
Boy, this hour went by fast. Thank you, Doug. Thank you, everybody in the chat room. Thanks for participating, and we're going to talk more next week. It just went by so fast, Doug. I want more. We'll get to it next week.
Yeah, and next week we've got, let me just look real quick, body thought, memory integration, how to release the past and embrace the future. So
yeah,
that'll be an interesting show.
I get a few meditations for everybody, one in particular. So I'm excited about next week's show. I hope everybody joins in.
Yeah. And if you like what you're hearing, let others know. Tell your friends. And if you like it, go to mchschurch.org and read the Principles of Belief and look it over. If you're not already a member, we'd love to have you. Thanks to John Hightower for screening calls tonight, and thanks to everybody for being a part of it, as Vicki said. Till next week, have a great week, guys. Good night.